Good morning. Hey, folks are awake at 11. I like that. What's happening? It is good to see everyone. For those who may not be familiar with me, my name is Brandon Pendleton. I serve here on the leadership team at New Hope, as well as on the teaching team and a few other ministries here like sound. And I'm truly excited to be able to share with the family. Which is you, even the folks who are streaming online. Hi. Just what God has just really been stewing in, I think, all week. And this whole concept of everyday heroes. And, you know, so many times we look at superheroes and, you know, we also look at just things that kind of get publicized or always celebrated in the media. But we can make the mistake of minimizing our own opportunities, our own values, our own places that we sit every day, and end up robbing people of a blessing, of a gift that God has given us and placed in us to share in these particular circles. So I believe God is going to use this message in many different ways to empower us, to encourage us, to strengthen us, to us to make some adjustments in how we have been engaging certain relationships and or just how we've been viewing just our place in the community, our place at work, our place in our homes, all these things. Because at the end of the day, every last one of us, we have this potential to be a hero, you know, to anyone that we encounter. And but the reality is that, you know, if we don't act with integrity, or if we don't and pursue what's called a noble cause with love, then we cannot be heroic. We can't achieve that. I like to start with a definition of hero, and hero is defined as a person who is admired for achievements and noble qualities, you know, one who shows great courage. And like I said, you know, every one of us has the potential of being a hero. But we can't achieve that unless we act with integrity and pursue noble causes with love. And the truth of the matter is, we can't be everything to everyone, though. You know, we're not designed by that. I think God's called us all uniquely to different things. There's a unique design and purpose that he's instilled for all of us. And in our own rights, as we follow him and as we engage, you know, we can become heroes for people. And sometimes we don't even know that we're playing that role in the lives of folks. Sometimes sometimes people will circle back with us and say, you know what? What you said really helped me, or, you know, I really appreciate the example that you set for me, or what you're doing in your life was something that I've decided to adopt in my own. You know, that's a noble quality about you that I truly do admire and value for myself. The thing about these qualities, though, is that people, they don't just happen overnight. Things have to be developed. They have to be cultivated. I heard the best analogy when it comes to things being cultivated is the example of a seed. And this speaker will always say something like, you know, is a mango seed a mango tree? And the answer to the question was, yes, it is a mango tree. Its essence is built within. But the reality is, it has to be planted in ground and cultivated and nurtured in order for it to become the tree that will provide fruit for the people to consume and shade to those who are hot. Like a tree, every person has an origin story. There's a particular setting, there's a context, there are certain series of events that have to happen in order for it to become the tree. We all have those origin stories. And the thing about it is that our stories develop these quality characteristics, It develops our talents, our skills, such that we can now offer those things to what's called a noble cause, this thing that is a good fit, that aligns with my, or what God's given me, what he's invested in me. I can now offer my strength for the benefit of the cause. But like I said, it doesn't happen overnight. But what are some examples of noble causes? Family. Government, community issues, education, all across the spectrum, there are wonderful causes available that God's uniquely caused and uniquely touched in our lives, such that and empowered us or drawn us to, that we have to offer this strength for the benefit of those who are involved in those spaces. My purpose is I like to encourage. It's filled with encouragement. It's filled with speaking life to people and helping people see and pursue what God's placed within their hearts, to do what God has called them to do and to embrace it and go full bore into it. And like everybody else, I have an origin story, and it's interesting because for me, you know, I growing up, I was just always one of those kids, man. I just like to ask questions of my parents, and almost like those questions that are a little uncomfortable, you know? And so one day, it was my 16th birthday, and it was just bothering me. So I asked my mom, I said, "Mom, I need to know. Did you and Dad plan on having me? Just want to know." So it kind of caught her off guard. She gave me a look like, "Boy, what you thinking?" You know, and I was like, "Well, I just want to know." And so she goes, "Well, son, if you think, you know, he and I sat down and we had a conversation and were like, yeah, you know, on this date and this time we're going to have another child." You know, she said, "No, that conversation didn't happen." And then she began to really paint the picture for me. And it was amazing when I heard this. She goes, "Brandon, actually, you are a wonderful gift." See, if you ask me normally, I would tell you that I'm number 4 in the lineup of, you know, children. I'm the youngest of 4 children. But the reality is I'm number 6. And my mom had a child before my oldest sibling, my brother, and he had died at birth. And then I found out also that my sister, who was closest to me in age, she was a twin. And she had lost the twin as well. My mom had always had rough pregnancies, and actually later in life she discovered that she actually had cancerous cells. And at any rate, she had consulted a doctor, and they had decided that she was going to get a hysterectomy. So while my family is stationed in Brindisi, Italy, my mother consults a doctor, and she gets cleared to go get her hysterectomy. The doctors put her underneath the anesthesia. And then 2 days later, because my mom said that she's always struggled with anesthesia, so it takes her a while to come to. But 2 days later, she comes to, and the doctor talks to her, and he says, "Miss Pendleton, I just wanted to let you know that we didn't move forward with the procedure." And she goes, "Well, why?" He said, "Well, ma'am, while you were underneath, there was an irregular heartbeat. We all noticed and heard an irregular heartbeat with you. And so we did an ultrasound just to further investigate. And the ultrasound actually revealed that you had two heartbeats. And the second heartbeat was me. And when we talk about God having a purpose and plan for our lives, and I'll read a scripture like Jeremiah 1:5 that says, "I knew you before I formed you in your mother's womb. Before you were born, I set you apart." When I heard that from my mom, and I read a scripture like that, it still to this day sends chills down my body. Wow, God, you really did have a purpose and plan for my life. My mother could have made a decision. The doctors could have made some decisions because all the paperwork had been signed. My mother did not know. She and my father could have decided, you know what, this has always been hard on you. You know, how about we just decide to not go through? But God had a plan for my life. You know, as I look in scripture, you know, there's another cat that comes to mind, and it's Moses. And for those of you who are not familiar with Moses, Moses is this dude that God used back in the Old Testament, and Moses was used to lead millions of people out of captivity from Egypt. And just to kind of set the story, again, we talk about heroes, every person having a purpose and plan, everyone having an origin. Moses had a very, very difficult origin. You see, because what happened was, when Moses was born, his people were actually enslaved. But the story before that was his descendant, his name was Joseph. Joseph was a great man of God who God had gifted to interpret dreams. And so the king of Egypt had a dream, and Joseph interpreted the dream, and that his interpretation helped save the land from this ridiculous famine that would have wiped out all humanity within the country. And so as a reward, the king said, "Hey, Joseph, you and your family, y'all move into Egypt, and y'all can have this part of this land over here, and, you know, do you in this space. But this is your reward because you saved me and my people." Well, some years goes by, and the new king comes to power, and he knows nothing about Joseph. Matter of fact, he can care less. All he sees is that there are some foreigners within my land that are, like, multiplying like rabbits. And they keep multiplying. And he gets intimidated. And he's like, "Yo, I need to do something about this. So here's what we're going to do. Hey, Egyptians, those people over there who aren't our countrymen, by the way, enslave them. They are now our slaves. We're going to force this labor on them to stop all this stuff so that they know that they are beneath us." And then he says, check this out, because even with the pain of slavery, they still kept multiplying and increasing in number. And so the king of Egypt was like, "Oh, you know what? I decree this. Every newborn boy that is born, kill him at birth. Kill him on the birthing table. The midwives that were responsible for birthing the babies or helping with the delivery of the babies, they feared God and they honored God. And so they actually defied the king out of reverence for God. And they basically came up with a story and said, "Hey, king, about that decree you gave, bruh, we can't really do anything with that because, you know, these Israelite women, man, shoot, they just pop babies out like this. Too fast, man. I can't stop. You know, they pop out, so we can't catch them in time. So, sorry, we can't kill them on the birthing table." The funny thing about it is the king just believes him. He's like, "All right, cool, whatever." So he says, "All right, I decree this then. When they're born, throw them into the Nile River." So this is the context that Moses is being born into. So then we go into Exodus chapter 2, and we find that when Moses is born, Scripture says his mother looks at him and says he's a very special baby. There's something special, something unique about him. And so what she does for 3 months is she hides him until she can no longer hide him anymore. And then what she does is she builds this basket, lays him in the basket, and sends him down the Nile River. Now, that time is not like our time. There's no kind of, you know, there's no advanced technology for showers and things. So people, if they need to bathe, they got into the water that was available. So the princess of the king of Egypt, she was taking a bath in the Nile River, and up floats Moses in this basket. Now, mind you, the decree is every Hebrew child, every Israelite child, every Israelite male born should be killed. Moses floats up to her, and the Bible says she looks down at Moses with compassion and decides to keep him. And while Moses was floating down the river, his sister was trailing behind. And so when she sees that the princess picks up Moses, she runs up to her and says, "Hey, do you want me to go get a Hebrew woman to nurse this child?" And the princess is like, yeah. That's like, almost like, "Yeah, that's a good idea. Go do that." So she goes back and she gets mom. And she brings mom to the princess. And she said, this is the wild thing about it for me is the princess says to mom, she says, hey, nurse this baby for me. And oh, by the way, while you're nursing the baby, I'm going to pay you for it. So let me find out. She got to spend more time with her baby, and she got broke off some cash on the side in the process. So you talk about abundant blessings from God. As they say, won't he do it? But yeah, it was amazing. So that's the context that the Lord brings us to with Moses' story as a baby. His mom nurses him for a couple of years, and then Moses is adopted as a child of the king. He becomes a prince of the kingdom of Egypt. And scripture fast forwards a few years, and we start to now see this development of Moses, this development where it will launch him into his destiny of where he is freeing or rescuing the children of Israel out of captivity. Moses witnesses an Egyptian beating his kinsmen. In my mind's eye, I can see Moses like, yo, what is he doing? First of all, he's already got the power. He's an Egyptian. This person's a slave. What are you doing? He's already losing. But the scripture says Moses looks around while that's going on, and he goes like, yo, I'm going to take matters into my own hands. And so Moses just kills the Egyptian, and he buries him in the sand. Later, Moses sees two of his kinsmen fighting, and he walks up to them. He's like, hey, man, y'all are brothers. Hold on. Y'all family. Why y'all tripping? Why are y'all arguing? Why are you fighting? And the dude who actually started the fight looks at Moses, and he goes, hey, homie, hold on. You going to kill me like you did the Egyptian the other day? And then Moses is kind of caught off guard. He's like, wait a second. You saw that? And then he's like, well, if you saw that, that means other people must know. And if other people must know, the king of Egypt must know, who did know and was already seeking to kill Moses. So the Bible says Moses flees the country of Egypt and he goes to Midian. And in Midian, here's another event that happens in his life, very significant and reflective of what will be part of his destiny. He's sitting at a well. And at this well, these seven daughters walk up of the priest of Midian. And these daughters are walking up to get water for their father's flocks. And the Bible says that these other shepherds in the area, you know, run these girls off away from the well, mistreating them. And Moses intervenes and rescues them. And he provides them water for their flocks. Moses meets the father. And then Moses marries one of the daughters. And then Moses takes refuge in Midian. And scholars say it was about 40 years. Moses resided in Midian for about 40 years until he had an encounter with God that would finally commission him into his destiny. See, Moses is just, across these 40 years, Moses is doing his responsibilities. You know, he's being a husband, he's being a son-in-law, he's a shepherd by trade, he's watching the sheep, the flock. And the Bible says that while he's tending to the sheep, he sees this burning bush. He's like, that's odd. Why is that bush burning? It's not being consumed by the fire. And from that fire, God calls to Moses. And that's when he commissions Moses and says, hey, Moses, hey, dude, I got a job for you. I need you to go back to Egypt because there are some people I need to use you to set free. Heroes. A person admired for achievements and noble qualities, one who shows great courage. Every one of us has the potential to be a hero to those who are around us. But if we don't act with integrity and pursue noble causes with love, that key word, with love, we will not be heroic. In our journeys, we all come from different walks of life. We all come from different experiences. And there are always things that, like Moses, when Moses saw his kinsmen being beaten, and when he saw the girls not being able to get water for their father's sheep. Like Moses, we all have these things that we're sensitive to, that strike chords with us, that cause us to action. It's like a hypersensitivity, if you will. That's our calling. There's something that God's placed and purposed in all of us to get involved in and to contribute towards. The reality of the matter is, it happens by process. We don't automatically have the skills and abilities immediately. God takes things in life, circumstances, to develop us to get to that space so that we can impact lives and benefit lives for His glory and for the benefit of others. Proverbs 16:9 says it like this. It says, "We can make our plans, but the Lord determines our steps." I can say what I'm going to do, but God orchestrates what I need to go through and experience in order for me to develop the character that I can serve righteously with the right spirit, with the right heart, with the right mind, such that people can be blessed and be benefited. Because it's not about me. It's about the people we serve. This cultivation in these steps, I think one of the results is commitment. And to me, and in my studies, as I looked at this, it was like, love is a commitment. Love is a conscious choice to stay dedicated to a cause. And with that conscious choice, we consume things that keep us informed and abreast of what's going on. Because that thing is something that God really has our attention, which honestly is linked to the purpose and plan that He has for us. Being consumed in such a way always leads to action. A great example that I can think of for here is our church, we do Feed My Starving Children. And I remember when my wife, Adoye, and I first came to New Hope and we heard about Feed My Starving Children, you know, in all truth of the matter is, we both are like, we know what it is to be hungry. So to find out how far a dollar can go by helping someone else who's in need, we were like, yes, let's give towards that. And then over time, as we continue to stay aware of what and investigate Feed My Starving Children, we were like, hey, there's help that's needed for packing meals. Well, besides us giving financially, let's also give of our time and our resources in that space to help pack these meals, to ensure that these folks can be fed who are in need. Noble causes that resonate with who you are. So a hero's involvement in a noble cause is motivated by love. A hero's involvement in a noble cause is motivated by love. And some of you might be like, well, what do you mean by that, Brandon? Because love, you know, I can't really see that because we think about the romantic stuff that we normally see. Well, what I love about Scripture is that in the Greek, there are actually four words for what we have in English as love. And the first is agape. And agape is that God love, that unconditional love, that not based on merit type love, not because you deserve this, but I love you. It's that consuming passion for the well-being of others. Agape delights in giving. Agape sees the value in the person or in the object that it's loving. It sees the value and it pursues into action. Agape. The other type of love, the second type of love, is what's also known as phileo. Phileo is a friendship type love, a companionship type love. It's one of those, it's that type of love where it's a balance between giving and receiving. And here's what's interesting about phileo that I found in my studies is phileo can also be strained. And it can collapse in a crisis. And the best example I can think of is, you know, you have a friend who you've been doing life with for so long, And then something just changes in the relationship. So you look at that person, you say, hey, man, it's been great knowing you all these years and doing what we've been doing for quite some time. It's been lovely. But I think this is the end of the road for us. That's what that means by saying when phileo is strained, it can collapse in a crisis. The third type of love, which I believe this coupled with agape is what resides within a hero. Third type of love is called storge. And storge love is that protective love. It's that parental type love. It's that love that automatically assumes responsibility over the care and the benefit of another. And then lastly, the fourth type love, which many of us may be very familiar with, is eros, which is that romantic type love. And it's funny because one particular source says eros is actually kind of a self-centered type love, because it's one of those things where it's, I love you because you do this for me, or you make me feel, or you love me because I make you feel. So those are the four types of love. And when we look at a hero, and to say that a hero's involvement in noble causes is motivated by love, 1 Corinthians solidifies that. 1 Corinthians 16:14 says, let all that you do be motivated by love. There's another standard that gets put in front of us in Mark 12 that says, love others as well as you love yourself. The most basic example I could think of for myself is if I'm sitting at a table of people and I know I'm thirsty, well, before I get up to get myself something to drink, to ask folks at the table, hey, would anyone like something to drink before I get mine? And serving others before I serve myself. There's no greater example of a hero becoming involved in a noble cause motivated by love than Jesus Christ. Because when we look at the story in Genesis, the reality that we all have this stain in us called sin. God saw that stain when Adam and Eve decided to take up the fruit and be disobedient. God said, I'm gonna fix that because I love you. And he did it with Jesus Christ. And here's what I like here in Philippians 2. It says, if you've gotten anything at all out of following Christ, if his love has made any difference in your life, if being in the community of the Spirit means anything to you, if you have a heart, if you care, then do me a favor. Agree with each other. Love each other. Be deep spirited friends. Don't push your way to the front. Don't sweet talk your way to the top. Put yourself aside and help others get ahead. Don't be obsessed with getting your own advantage. Forget yourselves long enough to lend a helping hand. And here's the kicker. Paul goes on to say here to the church of Philippi, he says, think of yourselves the way Christ Jesus thought of himself. He had equal status with God, but didn't think so much of himself that he had to cling to the advantages of that status no matter what. Not at all. When the time came, he set aside the privileges of deity and took on the status of a slave, becoming human. Having become human, he stayed human. It was an incredibly humbling process. He didn't claim special privileges. Instead, he lived a selfless life. He lived a selfless, obedient life and then died a selfless, obedient death, and the worst kind of death at that, a crucifixion. Because of that obedience, God lifted him high and honored him far beyond anyone or anything, so that all created beings in heaven and on earth, even those long ago dead and buried, will bow in worship for this Jesus Christ and call out in praise that he is the master of all, to the glorious honor of God the Father. Jesus, our hero. His example for us. He engaged in a noble cause to save humanity. And it was motivated by love. John 3:16 says it like this: "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever would believe in him should not perish but have everlasting life." Involvement leads us, and commitment leads us to action. And so to land this plane, I just want to just leave these two thoughts with the family. Genesis 1:26-31 and Jeremiah 29:11 affirm within all of us that God created us for a purpose in life, that God has a plan for each of us in life. And we have to develop along the way because there are people who are in need. There are people who need to benefit for what God has is developing in us. And that is our destiny. I pray that we all take time to think about our lives and see if we can connect the dots, almost like what in the example of Moses, to see where we currently are today, how God was leading us in that road. Time is not wasted for anyone. There is a reason why you are in the places that you are in the seats that you sit in, and you are in the roles that you play. And there's a lot of value. And God intends for all of us to engage in those noble causes, but to do it through love. For those of us who are followers of Jesus, we have a same responsibility for a noble cause. We have it at the global church level, and we have it at the local church level. From a global church perspective, we are to contribute to what's called the Great Commission, to go forth in all the world and to share the good news, to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, to share our testimonies, to share the being ready to give an answer for the faith and hope that we believe in, and that this same faith and hope that we have is available to others. That is why all of our interests are diverse. We all don't necessarily share the same interests. In some things, we do come together. But at the end of the day, the reason why is because God wants every corner, every place, every space to hear the message of what he came. We also have the responsibility to conduct ourselves in a God-honoring way. He says it, he calls us salt and light, that we got to provide light to a room and to be flavorful like salt and add value to people. At the local church level, the global church is viewed as, the global church is what's known as the full body of Christ. The local church level is known as part of the body of Christ. So there's a reason why we have been blessed to join up together. And there is a collective reason why we all come together in the partnership here at New Hope Church to accomplish a mission that God has called for us to do as his people. It could be serving the kids and youth. It could be a greeter. It could be missions. It could be an usher. It could be a number of things. But all that work together as one, God's called us to take that and to affect our community, to get out and get involved. So as I close, I simply just want to say, family, let the Lord continue to develop you. Let him continue to work in you, because we all have a cloud of witnesses that are around us in every arena of life. And in those cloud of witnesses, God has intended for us to be a positive influence in their lives for his glory and for their benefit. But we have to make sure that we take the opportunities that God gives us to cultivate love such that we can deal righteously and honor him in all things that we do. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for your message. I thank you for the call to action. I thank you for your divine purpose and plans that you have for us. God, I pray that this message truly just launches us into a week of just significantly seeking your face, where we just take moments to pray and we evaluate our lives and we give you thanks just for the blessing of life, the blessings and privileges of the things that we get to do, the roles we get to play, the opportunities we get to have, and seeing, like Moses, God, seeing the greater purpose and plan that you have for us in those moments to be able to benefit others. God, help us to evaluate the motivations that we have through the lens of your word and by the power of your spirit, that we can definitely make the adjustments with courage and faithfulness to you. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.